Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. So glad that you've joined us today right here over WMAF. We are currently passing well beyond the year of broadcasting here on WMAF, and what a joy it has been to be able to come to you week after week with a message of hope, a message of encouragement from God's holy word. We pray today's message will be no different from the other messages in the sense that it is designed to comfort, to counsel, to correct if need be, but above all, to lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a very simple name for this broadcast. It's Let's Talk About Jesus. And we could talk about a lot of things, we could talk about a lot of people, but there's no one like Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the most controversial man that has ever lived on planet Earth without exception. And it's an amazing, amazing reality that this baby born in a manger in a town that was the smallest of the cities of Judah, the town of Bethlehem, him and grew up in a town called Nazareth. And the scripture actually says people that found out that he grew up in Nazareth said no good thing ever came out of Nazareth. Amen. And he rode into his triumphal entry into Jerusalem a week before his crucifixion, and he rode in on a donkey. His earthly parents, if you please, he was virgin born, but his earthly parents who raised him, Joseph, was a carpenter. He was a carpenter's son. And how can this man of no notoriety, no means to exalt himself, promote himself, become the most well-known, well-documented man in all of human history? Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God. And it is my privilege today to speak concerning what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We're involved in a message based on a particular scripture in the book of Psalms, out of Psalm 107 and verse 2, that says, "Let the redeemed say so, whom God hath redeemed up out of the hand of the enemy." And we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ speaking, and so should we. We should concur with what God has said in his word about the blood of Jesus and what it has accomplished in our behalf. And we discovered last week that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks to God. When God sees the blood, he passes over us. He sees that we have that blood covenant in our life. We are saved from wrath because this sacrifice lamb has been slain in our behalf. And the blood of Jesus also speaks to us. It tells us that we, our conscience, should no longer be filled with guilt over past sins that we cannot change, because the blood of Jesus sprinkles our conscience from evil. It tells us very clearly that we are forgiven. It tells God and ask of God and to forgive us, and it speaks to us that we are forgiven. And the blood of Jesus also speaks to the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the enemy of all of the human race. The blood of Jesus that was shed at Mount Calvary, when we receive Christ as our Savior, it gives a very clear message to the enemy of our soul. And it begins with the fact that God does not condemn us any longer. Our sins are washed away. And we must not allow condemnation from our own minds to still condemn us. But even after we conquer those guilt-ridden thoughts and where our conscience is sprinkled from evil, we still have an accuser. The devil hates the message of the cross. He despises the blood of Jesus Christ, for through it he was defeated and we are delivered. No wonder there is such a violent reaction many times to the message of Christ and Him crucified. And no wonder there's a movement afoot to try to remove as much as possible an emphasis on the blood of Jesus Christ. Someone literally said, we don't need a bloody gospel. And I would say to that somebody that without the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't have a gospel. There is no a remission of sins without the shedding of blood. It had to be a sinless blood from a spotless one, and no one could deliver that up for atonement except the sinless man, except the second person of the Godhead, except the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ, and that God would love the world enough to give His Son, and that Christ would love us enough to die in our place on that old rugged cross. That constitutes the glory and the centerpiece of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is an accuser that never relents, never lets up, and his name is called in Scripture the devil. Devil is the Greek word diablos, and it means a maligner. And that's someone who accuses us of wrong, with the intent to assassinate our character. Satan wants to go beyond character assassination. However, he actually wants to see us damned and doomed along with himself to a place of torment. Jesus came to set us free, amen, from the wrath of God, to set us free from the guilt of sin, and to set us free from the pointed finger of the accuser. Praise God. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. I want to read that in Revelation 12, verse 10 through 11. And while you're turning there, remember the story of Job? Angels were ascending and descending to the presence of God. We find another place where that is happening. We call it Jacob's ladder, where Jacob laid his head on a stone, had a dream as he went to sleep, and when he awoke, he knew that God had shown him a corridor between heaven and earth, and angels were ascending and angels were descending. That means God is involved in the affairs of men and women, and angels are carrying out God's commands concerning us. Hallelujah. What a revelation that is. But in the story of Job, through this corridor of angels authorized to come, go back and forth between heaven and earth to carry out God's wishes and God's commands in behalf of his people and concerning this world. Amen. One appears who has been kicked out of heaven, who has been barred from coming. And the devil appears and God says, what are you doing here? You know you're forbidden to come here. What is your business? State the reason that you think you can come here. And he said, I came to talk to you about your children. In essence, I'm going to paraphrase. I came to tell you that if you take the blessing from them, they will curse you to your face. A man won't serve God for nothing. He only serves you for what he can get from you. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And then this whole scenario in the book of Job takes place because of that event. It was a special event, and God proved the devil to be wrong about mankind. There are men and women who will serve God for who he is, not just what we may obtain from him. The people who will love him and serve him because that we love him. Praise God. And I'm one of those people. Praise the Lord. And there's many, many others that love the Lord Jesus Christ and love our God. But the devil came to accuse all of mankind before God. He is a diablos. He is a maligner. He is the accuser of the brethren. Let me read this to you. The blood of Jesus is very powerful in our battle against the accuser of the brethren and the tempter and the oppressor. Listen to Revelation 12, 10 through 11. It said, and I heard a loud voice in heaven Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down that accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Here's the beginning of our victory. This is the centerpiece of the gospel. This is the central theme of the Bible. This is the foundation for all of the victory that we have over sin and over self and over Satan. Hallelujah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. They were totally committed and sold out to Jesus Christ. Amen. But it said they overcame him, the accuser, Satan as the accuser in particular. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's why there was kind of a double title to this teaching. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the blood of Jesus Christ speaks, and so should we. I've been in testimony services, particularly in my early days as a Christian. They used to call them popcorn testimony services because they would open the floor for people to glory, give God glory for what he had done in their life, and one would pop up, and another one would pop up, and another one would pop up, and no wonder they called it I'd never heard it termed that, but it really did fit. I was in a wonderful evangelistic meeting one night, and the pastor said, before we go any further, we're going to have a popcorn testimony service, and sure enough, his church, they knew what that meant. They started popping up one after the other. There wasn't even a pause. When one person was sitting down, another one was popping up to give glory to God for what he had done in their life. This is not just that kind of testimony. This particular testimony is related directly to what the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished for us on the cross, and literally what we've been studying. What God sees when he sees the blood of Jesus, how he sees us. Amen. He sees us as blood washed. He sees us as forgiven. He sees us as accepted in the Beloved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And how should we see ourselves? You know, we are sinners. We have been saved by grace, but we are far more than sinners saved by grace. Paul said, now we are the sons of God. We've been accepted as his dear children, brought into his royal family. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We are part and parcel of this royal family now. Praise God. Amen. And we should see ourselves as the blood bought, a children of the Most High God. And we should always address the great God who sent his Son to save us as our heavenly Father. That's how Jesus taught us to begin our prayers, with our Father which is in heaven. If we don't mouth those words, we should have that understanding that when we pray, we're not praying to a distant God who sits high aloft in his heaven and has little concern for us, but we pray to a loving, caring, heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And we should see ourselves as God sees us. If God sees you as a son of God, you know, it doesn't matter what you felt like this morning. You might have felt like that heaven was brass, God was distant, and you felt like you've been jerked through a knothole backwards. And if you don't know what that feels like, then you haven't lived very long. You're just a child. Amen. But the rest of us know exactly. Life can make you feel that way. Events in life. But it doesn't change the fact, Christian brother and sister, that you and I are the sons of God. And we can come before his throne because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And plead that blood as our right to come before Him. Praise God. In fact, every time we kneel in prayer, without mouthing the words, we are pleading the blood of Jesus Christ as the basis for our approach to God. Amen. And there is such thing as pleading the merits of that blood. And it becomes the word, I believe, part and parcel of the word of our testimony. I have a testimony. My sins are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. My testimony is directly connected to what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Amen. And it extols the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we want to make it very clear. It's just not saying I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I thank God for saving me. It is related to what God sees. How God sees us when the blood of Jesus is applied to our life, and how we see ourselves when the blood of Jesus is applied to our life. Friend of mine, I want you to know that if you're a Christian today, you are part of the royal family of God Himself, Jesus Christ. We have become heirs of God. If we're sons of God, the Bible said we're heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus. That's so incredible. If God hadn't said it, I couldn't receive it. I couldn't believe that we could be held in such a privileged position spiritually, except God has declared it in His Word. How valuable and powerful is the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. No wonder the devil hates the message of the cross, because he despises the blood of Jesus, because through it we are delivered. Listen, if you're listening to this broadcast today and you're not a Christian and you feel like I am too sinful, I have done too many wrong things, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. Amen. God has designed a way for you to get out of the trap that you're in, to escape Satan's snares, to escape God's wrath, to escape, amen, the accuser's bony pointing finger today. You can receive Christ as your personal Savior. And the moment you do, everything that the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished on that cross becomes yours in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus will tell God that the blood of Jesus will literally speak to God on your behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. And God will declare you innocent from your sins because Jesus took the punishment. Jesus made the final payment for them. Oh, what a gospel this is. You can be free from Satan's accusation. You can be free from a guilt-ridden conscience today. It's not that God don't want us to be heartbroken over our sins and the things that we've done that have hurt other people. He does, but He don't want us to stay under the condemnation. Amen. I love that old song that says, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Savior to see, because glory to God, He set me free. Amen. The blood of Jesus liberates us from these things. We weep. We are brokenhearted. We repent of our sins. We apologize to anyone that will listen. And some people may never forgive us our whole lifetime, but God will forgive us. Jesus will accept us, and God will accept us in Him. Amen. If you're a Christian today and you feel that that you have not lived up to God's expectations, maybe you haven't, go before Him. Ask Him to help you to overcome. Confess your stumblings. Confess your fallings. Confess your sins. God can handle it. He knows all about us, and He loves us. Amen. And He wants to help us, and He wants to set us free. Don't let the enemy convince you that you are not worthy of God forgiving or God accepting or God loving. Jesus died for you and for me on the cross. Our sins put Him there, but He stayed there because He loved you and He loves me today. Praise the Lord. The Amplified Bible is very clear. It said, "And they conquered Him by means of the blood of the Lamb and the utterance of their testimony." The utterance of their testimony. We need to always plead the blood of Jesus when engaging the accuser in spiritual battle. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're ransomed from the fall. We proclaim His death for us. Psalm 107, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a glorious gospel that we preach. This is a glorious gospel that we declare unto you today. I am so glad to be a preacher of this gospel. Let me tell you a true incident that happened in the marketplace of Rotterdam, Holland. And there stood for many years an old corner house known as the House of a Thousand Terrors. You see, in the 16th century, King Philip II of Spain ruled Holland. The city of Rotterdam revolted against his tyrannical rule, and King Philip said, I'm not going to put up with that. And he sent the Duke of Alba with a vast army to go and reconquer Rotterdam, Holland. Rotterdam put up quite a fight, but eventually capitulated to the siege. And when the victors walked in, they were not pleased with Rotterdam. They went door to door, killing men, women, and children in their homes. It was a vast slaughter. In one home, a family was huddled in a corner with some of their friends and relatives. And they could hear the bloodshed coming down the street, the soldiers coming, killing their neighbors. Later, the house came to be called the House of a Thousand Terrors because a thousand terrors gripped their hearts. You can kind of imagine how it would feel if you're hearing the screams of your neighbors as they come down your street and they're killing every person, no mercy shown, men, women, and children. But one young man stepped out of his fear, and for a moment, with an inspired idea, he went behind the house and grabbed the goat out back and pulled it into the living room. And there by the front door of the house, he slaughtered the goat. Then he took a broom and swept the goat's blood under the door, and it came out the door and onto the front steps. The soldiers came and pounded on the door and tried to beat it down. There was no answer. One soldier said, look, the blood under the door. The work has already been done here. The Bible said when God sees the blood of Jesus, He declares the work has already been done here. The wrath of God has been satisfied when Jesus took our place and He took our punishment on the cross. The sin debt that you and I owed is paid in full. So many of the old hymns of the church celebrate and proclaim the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. There's a song called Are You Washed in the Blood? And it said, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's another called Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The great hymn that's been played in so many of the Billy Graham crusades said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. How about, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, rejoicing every day. Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Whiter than snow, Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory, divine heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And just to cap this off, there's so many I could read all week long, but there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. There is a fountain, friend of mine, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. You know what God is trying to tell us? That our current popular version of Christianity, comfortable, humorous, superficial, entertaining, worldly wise, is exposed for the irreverent presentation of the gospel of Christ that it really is. A preacher is commissioned to give people not what they want, but what they need. No man has any business walking into the pulpit to entertain. He is there to present Calvary in all of its fullness of hope and glory. It is said that Gandhi once asked some Christian missionaries to sing him a song. They asked which song would he like to hear. He said, the one that expresses all that is deepest in your faith. And after briefly consulting with one another, they sang, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Because God is just, He cannot overlook human sin. Being holy and just, God must declare and punish sin. The Bible tells us that God never clears the guilty. He never pronounces the guilty people to be innocent. God also declares that sin must be paid for. Sin must be punished. The gospel tells us that either the sinner pays for his sin or Christ pays for his sin. Either I pay for my sin by spending eternity in torment, or Christ paid for my sin by going the way of the cross and the grave. Of course, I can never pay off my sin debt and my guilt. I actually increase my debt and guilt every day. So even though I spend eternity in hell, I still have not been there long enough to appease God's wrath against my sin. Christ is able to do what I cannot. His sacrifice offered on the cross does pay the debt and the guilt of sin. His sacrifice offered on the cross does appease God's wrath. This doesn't mean I'm suddenly innocent and pure and righteous. This does mean that I'm cleared of my sin. I'm right in His eyes. It does mean that because of Christ, God treats me as if I'm innocent and pure and righteous. God, we see, is both just and a justifier. Sin is punished, and God is propitiated. That means His wrath has been satisfied, and it's been satisfied in Jesus Christ upon that old rugged cross. I still love those songs of faith that proclaim what the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. I still love to hear preaching that really, really honors the blood of Jesus Christ in our behalf. Hallelujah. And I still love to preach and tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And that's exactly what we're doing on this radio broadcast today. We're declaring the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that every sin that you've ever committed can be washed away. You say, "Preacher, I don't deserve that." I agree with you. God agrees with you. No one's going to argue that point. Mercy is not about what you deserve. Grace is not for deserving people. It is unmerited favor. You know why you merit such favor when you don't really have any merit? It's because the blood of Jesus pleads for you. And if you receive Christ as your Savior, you can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And God will honor. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen, if you're a Christian today, you need to speak up, my brother and my sister, and declare that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are a child of the living God. As imperfect as you are, and I am, we belong to Him. We're bought with a price. Amen. If you don't know Him today, open your heart right now. Repent of your sin. Receive Him. And tune in next week as we talk about Jesus.